I'm already having a wardrobe malfunction. I'm not a scripted pastor, so I'm going to give you that disclaimer right now. I am not a scripted person. I am not a politically correct person. If I can offend you in any type of way, I'm sure I'll do that in the next 35 minutes. Hey, is that my girl? What'd she call me the other day? This is Tinsley, and Tinsley is going to be a big sister. Amen. And she is going to be the best big sister ever. I hope you're better than my big sister. She used to beat me when I was your age, so don't do that. But anyhow, you know, I'm thankful for everything that God has done. I don't know what y'all do normally if you're not usually here, but I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We do that every Sunday morning here at Parish Christian Center, and Easter is no different. We stand because I want you to get it in your head that God has made you well able to stand. You're only standing because of God's grace that He has given to you. In a week's time, Aunt Fran, there are things that would make us want to quit, things that would make us want to give up, things that are too hard. But I want to tell you that you're standing today and you're only doing it because of how good God has been to you. So if there's been some things going on in your week, if you've been bothered, if you're hurting in your heart and in your soul, maybe you've battled addiction this week. Maybe you've battled depression and anxiety this week. I'm going to ask you to let God take those things off of you. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. God, under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, I call this service into order. Lord, I thank you for healing that's flowing through bodies right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that you and only you can break chains of addiction. So, God, I ask that you would do that in this place. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you're restoring people in Jesus' name. God, I give you this service. I tell you to have your way right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm about ready to just tell it like it is. So if you're a super religious person, you're going to be offended right off the bat. But I'm not a religious person. I'm a saved person. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Religion will tell you that you need to look a certain way to come into church. And I'm going to tell you that all you need to do is come up into church. Now, I want you clothes, but you don't have to wear whatever. You know what? Come into this place and sit down. You don't have to have your life together to come into God's house. That's what God is for. Amen. You don't got to look your best to come into God's house. Because let me tell you something. What I've learned in my own life is you can look as pretty as you want to look. But if you're ugly and you got issues on the inside, there's still a problem there. Amen. Now, I love a good person that just tell it like it is. And I don't know anybody that can tell it better than my daddy. And yesterday, I was never so proud to be his daughter. Daddy, stand up. Mama, stand up. And I have learned to give credit and honor to where credit and honor is due. This is my mom. This is my dad. Can y'all give them a good round of applause? They founded this ministry off of nothing but God. When you get to those places in your life where you got nothing, but you can say, but God, that's where you want to be. Amen. That's a starting place. Daddy, do you have anything you want
to
say?
No. It's glad to be here with you.
Amen. Well, they were singing He's Alive. Now, Daddy has sang that song every year for Easter for ever. 34 years, to be exact. And them girls were acting like they had never heard He's Alive, which I know is a lie because they've been hearing it since they were babies. And we were trying to get them to act right, Tyranny. And God bless you, because I don't know how you do that. She's a school teacher. And so we were singing, girls, you know, singing to the microphone, girls, smile. We were just telling these girls all sorts of stuff, and they weren't getting it. And so I get up there, and I'm not a school teacher. And I don't claim to be. That is not my calling. God did not want me to have a prison ministry. That's why I didn't go into teaching. But anyhow, I said, girls, you are singing about the fact that He is alive again. There is nobody left in that tomb. The tomb is empty. Now, can you get excited about that, girls? And they were having issues. sitting there thinking, Dad's going to sit this one out. And he said, yeah, Kelly, just tell him. And I said, you know what? Nobody could tell them better than you. And he got up there, and he began to give them the what for, just like 30-something years ago when he was giving all of us the what for. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that Pastor Kelly could preach about today, and I'm going to preach, but I want to tell you something. It's not just my job to get you to feel Easter. That is your job. If you're relying on me to get Easter instilled in you, I want to tell you, you need to get up on your butt and you need to get the spirit of Easter in your soul, because he died for you. He died for me. But you have to take that personal. If you're not taking it personal, that's why you're stuck in your life. Amen? Now, I'm not a sugarcoater. If you're looking for sugar, you can go down the road somewhere else, but you're not going to get it here. Amen? The Word of God is offensive, because the Word of God will make you need to change. So, Glory, I am thankful to be here. Now, a lot of pastors, they wait till the very last 5 minutes of their message, and they'll play just the right music, and they'll get you manipulated good into the song, and they'll get you saved for the 17th time. I'm not going to do that here today. Amen? I've been in the ministry my entire life. What I can tell you is that doesn't work. A moment with Christ is what works. A lifetime with him works. You know, the Word of God says work out your own salvation. And the way that you work it out is with fear and with trembling. By the time you've worked out your own salvation, you've had a workout. How many of you know that you're all you can handle? You need to be so busy minding your own problems and your own stuff, you ain't got time to mind Sally Sue's or Brother Buckethead. Amen? You got your own problems. You need to work out your own salvation. And when you're working it out, you better do it with fear and trembling. God, say, God, I'm afraid of what I will do if it's all left up to me. Amen. Amen, angel. I'm glad you're here, sister. So, I'm not going to wait till the end of my sermon. I'm going to get you right at the beginning. And I'm not playing no music. Here's what I am doing. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, what I want you to hear is this right here. God loves you so much. I also want to tell you that you matter. You matter. There's hope. There's hope. You matter. I want to let you know that you have not gone too far. Your life hasn't gotten so bad. You haven't made the worst mistake, and now God doesn't want to mess with you. I want to tell you right now that there's hope. I want to tell you that it's going to be okay. What I've learned is this right here. You don't have to have all the answers. God will give you what you need right the very moment that you need it. If you're in your life today and you're saying, God, I'm stressed because I don't know what to do or I don't know what's going to happen. Look here. The moment that it's time for you to know, you're going to know. You're going to have a knowing. If you're stressed in here today because there's parts of your life that you don't have a knowing about, I want to tell you, you're going to know when it's time. There is a time and a season for everything under the sun. Do not spend your life worrying and fretting, because you have a Savior that when he was nailed to the cross, he became worry. He became sin. He became infirmity. He became unforgiveness. He became guilt. He became addiction. He became those things for you, so you don't have to be those things. If you're somebody you don't want to be right now, look here. At any moment, you can stop right where you're at and you can say, God, change me. What did David say? He said, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, God. See, the ball is in your court. Who do you want to be and what do you want to be? That's not even in the message. That was just all icing on the cake. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6. I started preaching, well, my first message was in the country at my parents' 10 acres on Cottontown Road, and my first sermon was to June bugs, was it not, Mother? And then I had a funeral after that, and I made little crosses out of June bugs, and I did that funeral service also. But I've preached since I was 19 years old. And so I've preached for 17 years now, and I've done my fair share of Easter services. And there have been Easters where I didn't even preach about the actual Easter thing because I thought, you know, there's some people I don't even see except for on Easter. So when I get them here, I want to give them a surprise. I'm going to actually preach about Easter because God has put something in my heart, and it's about sin. So Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to look at verse 3 right here, and we're talking about Jesus. And it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now I want to tell you something. When I tell you that Christ took everything on that cross, he took it all. Some of us in here are so messed up over rejection that it's made it hard for us to be able to move on in our lives. Maybe you got in a bad marriage. Maybe you had a bad relationship with your mom or your dad. Maybe you had a bad childhood. Maybe you had a boss do you wrong. Maybe you had a coworker do you wrong. Let me tell you something. Rejection is traced all the way back to the cross. Because let me tell you, he took on rejection. We've all rejected him in our own way. So you can let rejection go. And you can walk away from it. Because he took that on for you. There are people that I'm, at times, Miss Sherry, that I'm so messed up over because I know that they're never going to be for me. And that hurts and it stings. But here's what I've learned. Don't take that rejection in and make it personal. Christ took rejection. We don't have to take ownership of it. Amen. And so it says here, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Are you familiar with suffering today? Number one, have you had some suffering going on in your life and you're ready to do something about it? Have you suffered long enough? Now, I know this isn't a typical Easter thing, but you know what? There are too many blood-bought believers that are suffering unnecessarily. People go home. They're afraid to go out of their homes. They're afraid to go to a Walmart because they're afraid of so-and-so going to see them and, oh, they know everything bad about me or they've heard this about me or this was said about me. Look here. God didn't intend for you to be like that. Why? Because he took that on. Well, praise God. You sound people are great. They done gave me a light show. Thank you. Let me get behind it. They're probably trying to tell me, Pastor Kelly, don't be moving around. Good luck. Now I can't read either, but we're going to move on. Now, Leland, honey, if you want to go back there in that other class, you certainly can. Now, this is not a scripted service, so if there's kids, I'm going to talk to the kids. And if that offends you, you're going to have to get over it. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Surely he took them up. He took them up. So if he took them up, why do you have them? Why do you have them? Is there something that you need to get rid of today? Is there something that God keeps telling you, I wish you'd just let me have it. I wish you'd just let me have it. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was going into somewhere, and I was holding my head really low because there were some things that I was feeling bad about. And God said, Kelly, you keep your head up high because I paid a price for that head to be lifted up. See, God doesn't want you with your face down and you're feeling bad about everything that you've ever done wrong. God wants your head up. If there's things going on in your life that are worrying you and concerning you, God's got them. He's got them. And see, it says, surely that he took it up. Surely he took it up. Is there anything in your life right now that you're for sure of? Is there anything in your life that you are sure of? I have caught myself here lately saying, every time I think I cannot be surprised about something, I'm surprised about something. Right? When I think somebody can't do something, it's that person, they turn around and they do that. What I've learned in life is there's very few things that you can be real sure of. But one of the things that you can take to the bank every single moment of your life is surely he took up our infirmities. Surely, surely he carried our sorrows. Surely he did it. If there is something that is hurting you, that is bothering you, that is keeping you up at night, when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about it. When you're going to bed at night, you're thinking of it. Well, just a looming thing, I want to tell you, you need to begin to learn how to speak the word over your life. This right here, let me tell you something. To sit here every Sunday and Wednesday and listen to me and listen to whoever else preaches, that is not enough for you, because that is not the definition of working out your own salvation. Working out your own salvation is when you're working it out on Monday through the other 7 days, the 7 days of the week. Church is not enough. Now, church is a part of it, but it ain't enough. If you're relying yourself all upon me on Sundays and that's it, you're going to be in big trouble. Because there's some Sundays where I've got an attitude problem. Amen? Do you got an attitude problem sometimes? If you're going to get in an argument with your family, it's going to be on Sunday, right? If you're going to get in an argument with yourself, it's going to be on a Sunday or a Wednesday. That's what I think. Or Monday. That's right, Lucas. I can always count on him. He is listening to me all the time. So it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for those. What are transgressions? Sins. Sins. I'm not going to ask who's been sinning this week, but I know I have. All right, let's keep it real. If you wanted to have fake church, you could have it somewhere else, but it ain't going to be here. Surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was literally pierced in his body for your sin. I'm addressing sin today because sin was already paid for. Not only did somebody take your sin, but he became your sin. And there is a difference in those two things. He took it, and he became it. There are too many holidays that go by. There are too many church services go by in churches all around the world where pastors are standing behind a pulpit, and they're beating you up over the head about sin. And I'm one of them sometimes. And here's what I'm going to say about sin. If you're sinning, stop it. If you're sinning, stop. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's why. You don't need no more reason than that. God's not as much messed up about what you did yesterday. He's worried about what you're going to do today. What are you going to make today into? What are you going to do today? And it says here, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, I grew up in a house, and there was four of us girls. And when you got more than one kid, here's going to be the issue sometimes. You're going to whip the wrong kid for something. Any of you parents ever do that? Well, I've gotten whipped for stuff that Casey did. She's gotten whipped for stuff that I did. Melissa was so sweet. She hardly ever, I think I saw Melissa get a whipping one time the whole time. She was just sweet. She's also the one that when I tell that story about whether we did it or not, she copped to it. Got us all in trouble. Momo, raise your hand. I've got two of my sisters in here. Casey, raise your hand. All right, those are the perfect ones. The other one, I don't know where she's at, but she's going to get it because she didn't make it to her sister's Easter service. But there were things that I did, and I let my sisters get the whooping for it. All of us girls, if you've got girls and you're a man and you're raising some girls, here's what I want to tell you. They are going to mess up your plumbing. Okay? How are they going to do that? Well, let me tell you how we did it. First of all of our hair stopped up the drain a million zillion times, okay? And then girls like to do something that I like to call cranking the water nozzle on the bathtub. I don't know how many times that we did that, but it was so many that it was like an every other week thing. And I remember one specific time, and this is awful, but Dad had just had it with that problem. And he got in there to Casey, and he whooped her. And then he said, I'm going to dock your allowance. Casey got an allowance, and I didn't. And I let her get the whooping, and her allowance docked. And I went to bed that night, and I felt a little conviction. I mean, just a little. I was still thinking of all the mean things she did to me. And I was thinking, she kind of deserved that whooping. I mean, it was for the wrong thing, but she deserved it nonetheless. But here's my point. Somebody took so many things for you. I was sitting there, and I was looking at those girls, and yesterday they were singing in practice, He's Alive, and I was thinking, you know, these kids don't get this. They don't get the fact of what Jesus really did. And you know what? Sadly, we don't either. Because it's become so familiar with us. Somebody will say, well, I'm praying for you. Okay. Well, how are you doing? You ever notice somebody say, how you doing when they're walking off down their aisle? They're like, they don't want to, I don't even ask that question anymore. Because people expect me to stay and hear it. I go to Walmart, I'm after that stuff, and that's it. That's the one place I still wear my mask. I'm wearing that mask, wearing them shades, and wearing that hat. I'm not Pastor Kelly in those 10 minutes. I'm just a mom needing to go get some bribery for her brats. So it says here, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Somebody took your sin and they became your sin. Do you have a sin problem in your life? Are there some things that you need to lay down? Do you keep finding yourself at the same place in your life over and over and over, and it's just a cycle? If you do, then you need to be listening, because it's time for that to stop. There's too many people that are going out of this life, and they think that they're coming home at night, and they never make it. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 1 through 8. And I was reading this a few weeks ago, and I saw something that I don't think I've ever seen before in the Word. And I know that this is a little bit of a different Easter message, but you know what, Gail? Easter at Paris Christian Center should not be predictable. That doesn't go along with anything that we do here. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is not predictable? You can't pattern Him. You can't nail Him down and do all that stuff. The Holy Spirit's either there or He ain't. And so in John chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.'" And you know what I always think about everybody that brought her in? First of all, number one, where was the man? And number two, what are y'all been doing? Because I know you've been messing up too. And here they're dragging her, and oh, we caught her in the very act. And he says, "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, and the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And I'm going to stop right there. I know we are not talking about adultery today. But you know what we are talking about? The simple fact is this right here. When it comes down to the very end part of your life, you know what's happening with you? It's going to be you and God. There ain't going to be nobody else can accuse you. It's you and Him. It's you and Him. Notice that He stood up for her and He said, "Okay, y'all want to start this sin?" He just got down and He just began to write all their sins on the thing. Look here, nobody can sit here and accuse you. You answer to an audience of one. Who is that? Christ. Christ. There's always going to be somebody talking about you. There's always going to be all of that junk. But listen here. Notice that in this account, see, this is not a story or a fable. This happened, and for that reason, I like to call those things accounts. Those were documented events that took place in history. And Melissa, he got all the jerks up out of there. He got all the gossipers up out of there. He removed all the hypocrites up out of there till it was only him and her. And he said, "Okay, we're going to work this out." And what I want to tell you today is, sin was already atoned for. That's why you need to lay it down. When you're sinning, and you know you're sinning, that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Amen? He already became sin for you. He already became sin for me. He became those things. What I loved about this account is this right here. It says, "At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there." Look here. When everything goes wrong in your life, when every person leaves you that said that they would be there for you, He will never leave you. It will be you and Him still standing there. And just as I said, stand to your feet. You're going to be standing. You're going to be standing. God made you to be able to stand for a reason. Because His Son, Jesus, died on a cross for you so that when the worst of the worst happened in your life, you still had the ability to stand. There are times where the only thing that you can do is stand. And what does the Word say? When you've done all that you can do to stand, then just stand, but stand very firm. There's people here, you're at your wit's end. There's people here, you could say, "Pastor Kelly, I'm just to the end of myself. I don't know what to do." Look here, good. Are you to the end of yourself? Praise God. There's some people you're not. You've not let things get whatever. You're still happy in the sin. There's still pleasure in the sin. Guess what? Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll make you pay more than you wanted to pay, and it'll make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. There's people that this is just another Easter message to you. Maybe your family dragged you here or whatever it is, what it is. But see, this is being recorded right now in heaven. This is not a scare tactic. See, look here, Kevin. I'm going to preach my message. I'm going to go over there and eat probably 2 hamburgers, and I'm going to go home and put some elastic pants on and just be a happy fat girl, all right? See, I ain't playing no violin and none of this. God's all at the elastic pants, right? How many of y'all like the elastic pants? They are of the Lord. They have them in pajamas too. I can't tell if people going into Walmart are in their pajamas or their everyday clothes now because they're all the same. I made sure this skirt was elastic. I'm going to put my tennis shoes on. I'm going to go over there and hunt them eggs with them kids and eat some burgers. But look here, we're in the here and now. What is God trying to talk to you about? Sin. Yes, this is Easter. Look here. You're either sick of some things in your life and you're ready for them to get better and turn around, or you're not. And it is that simple. It is that simple. We are not going to overcomplicate that. You are either sick of the stuff that's going on in your life, or you're not. You're either going to stop it, or you're not. There is no gray shaded area in that part. And if you're not going to stop, then great, go ahead and keep sinning it up. You know what I've learned, and I know this is crazy, but look here. What I've learned, Melissa, is this right here. I could never sleep at night worrying about what everybody's out there doing, or I can just go to bed and be the best pastor that I can be for everybody. But until the people, until each individual person wants their life to be better, wants to make those changes for themselves, then I can just spin my wheels, but at the end of the day, I don't need to spin my wheels. That person needs to be a little bit more concerned about their life than I am concerned about their life. Amen? Now, if this is offending you, then let it be, but it's going to just be what it is. You've got to take control of your life. If you're sick of where it is, then you take a hold of it. And God will take a hold of it with you. He'll take a, you know what, every Monday I go down to the jail and I minister at the jail. And every Monday I hear the same thing. Pastor Kelly, I know what you're saying, but you don't understand what I've done. Look here, I don't have to understand it. God understands to the full extent of what's going on in your life. He understands it more than you do. What does the word say? The heart is deceitful and above all things. Who can really know it? God knows it. God knows every single thing. He knows the areas where he's trying to shine a light and say, now look here, you've got to fix that. Look here, you've got to change that. He knows the people that will accept him and the people that will reject him. He knows in its entirety. And it says here, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. And he said, then neither do I. Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and leave your life of sin. Look here. When Jesus sticks up for you, there isn't anybody left that can accuse you of nothing. Last place for me, Romans chapter 6, verse 8. We're going to look at 8 through 14. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin, once and for all. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives it to God. He lives it to God. What is the most important? That the life that you're living it to God. Are you going to stumble at times? Yes, you are. Are you going to fall flat on your face sometimes? Yes, you are. At the end of the day, God is going to pick you back up over and over and over again. And he's going to defend you like nobody else can. He's going to provide for you and heal you and help you like nobody else can. And at times when he needs to step into that point and get everybody away from you till it's just you and him standing there, he'll do that. Why? Because there isn't anything that he hasn't already done to save your soul. That's why. He's done it all. He's done it all. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to tell you this morning that you've been called. I want to tell you this morning that you've been called. There isn't anything that you've done that could ever take your calling away from you. The calling of God comes without repentance. He's not sorry about it. He's not sorry what he did for you. He's not sorry about the calling that he gave you. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. There's too many Christians out in the world today, and they're justifying themselves. They feel like they have to answer every critic. I'm one of those people. Here's what I'm learning. I haven't gotten it all down, Miss Rocky, but here's the gist of it. Christ justified me. I don't have to sit here chasing my tail, defending myself. If Jesus Christ has to come into my life and draw a line in the sand and stick up for me until every one of my critics is gone, he'll do it. If he has to do that for you, he'll do it. Amen? And it says here, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's people, and maybe you've been raised up in church, and every time something happened in your life, you had religious people saying, well, that happened to you because of this, this, and this. Look here. You can't listen to that. It's garbage. Stop worrying about all of that. If God is for you, if God is with you, who could be against you? Who could be against you? You need to wake up every morning and say, God, I give you this day. God, I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you're with me. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If you don't hear anything else in this message, if you didn't hear anything today, I started it off with it. I'm going to close with it. God loves you. If you're troubled in here about something, God's helping you every step of the way. If you're in a place in your life that you don't like, if there's things going on and you caused them, you created the trouble, stop right where you're at. Don't go a step further. stop right where you're at and just say, God, I surrender this to you right now. Lord, I commit this to you right now. Y'all stand to your feet. I want to tell you that we have got a ton of hamburgers, a ton of hot dogs, a bunch of cotton candy, the Easter bunny, bless his heart, a bunch of soda, get your kids all good and sugared up, a bunch of cookies. But the very best thing is that there is banana pudding over there. All right? Jesus rose. He became sin, and he created banana pudding. And God wants you to be happy today. God wants you to enjoy your family today. God also wants you to get it right. God wants me to get it right. He wants us all to get it right. This was not a beat yourself up over the head moment. This was a let's just get it real and keep it real. We are going to have that hunt first. It's going to be at the Bain Center. The Bain Center is over there. Brother Sam is going to take any person that can't walk over there. He's going to drive them over, and then he'll drive them back. That's what Brother Sam always does. We've got the inside of the Bain Center. If you don't want to be cold or whatever, you can go in there and eat. So the children are going to have their Easter egg hunt, but all you adults that don't have your children, and you've done that in your life, or you don't have any yet, guess what? You get to eat. Just go over there, have a great time, eat. It's been good to be in God's house. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for what you've done in this service. Lord, I thank you for the lunch. God, I ask that you bless it to our bodies. Lord, I thank you that our kids are going to have a good time. None of them are going to get hurt. Lord, I thank you for every family that's in here right now, God, under the sound of my voice, every person. Lord, every person that's listening on live right now, God, I thank you that you're helping us. In Jesus' name, amen.